All right, now we're situated. Everybody doing okay this morning? As okay as can be?
I hate these covers.
That's okay. All right. Can't do anything about that right now. If you have your copy of God's Word, go ahead and turn to Psalm 144. That's where we'll be this morning. Just before we get started, kind of some things to think about that I think kind of fits a little bit with the time we found ourselves in over the last several months. There are times in life when you're a little bit bewildered and confused. Anybody been there? Oh my, yes, yeah, we've all been there. We kind of maybe feel that way, and whether it's the kind of situation we find ourselves in now, maybe a situation with your job or with your family, a child, or with possibly other issues, your own health, those kind of things, there are times in life we feel bewildered, we feel like where are we at, we may feel a little bit off balance, and that's kind of what I think David's going to describe here as we look in Psalm 144. So if you're able and you're willing, those that are with me today, would you stand up in honor of reading God's Word? We're going to look at Psalm 144, all 15 verses. This is a Psalm of David. He says in verse 1, "Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in he whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. O Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains that they may smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and confuse them. Stretch forth your hand from on high. Rescue and deliver me from the great waters, out of the hand of aliens whose mouths speak deceit, whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God. Use it upon my harp of 10 strings. I will sing praises to you, who gives salvation to kings, who rescues David, his servant, from the evil sword. Rescue me and deliver me out of the hand of aliens whose mouth speaks deceit and whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood. Let our sons in their youth be as grown-up plants and our daughters as corner pillars fashioned for a palace. Let our garners be full, furnishing every kind of produce, and our flocks bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields. Let our cattle bear without mishap and without loss. Let there be no outcry in our streets. How blessed are the people who are so situated. How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord." Would you pray with me, Father? We thank you. We thank you for your word, the words of David as he speaks to us today. And I pray, Father, use me as your vessel to faithfully communicate your word to each of us, your people, not so much that we get the answers right, but more importantly, we hear from your heart and your desire to speak to us today. Lord, I want the Holy Spirit to have complete sway in my life and the life of each person here. Speak to us in boldness, challenge us where we are, and move us to where you want us to be. Bless this time and use it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, there's so many things here, but this psalm that David speaks just begins with. David was, if you know David very much, King David in the Bible was kind of a warrior, kind of a guy that liked to do things and was very confident in his own abilities. But there were many times in his life and in his time as king of Israel that he would struggle with what to do and trying to make those decisions. And there were so many important decisions that he made that he would often counsel and seek God's counsel when he would do that. He would, in those days, they would offer a sacrifice, a sacrificial offering. He would ask the priest to come with him and he would pray and let God give him guidance. In fact, every time before he went into battle, we see this throughout the books of where it describes David's life and Samuel and his leadership, that he was always one who called upon the counsel of God whenever he faced a difficulty. Now, I don't know how it is for you in your life, and in my life, there are many times that we face challenges, things that we're not sure how to deal with and how to handle, and we have the same God that David spoke to turn to and ask him to bring us strength, to give us hope, and to give us guidance in the midst of where we find ourselves. And I hope that you are doing that as you have those opportunities when you feel a little bit out of sorts and you're not sure what to do, you're not sure how to handle the situation in which you find yourself. Know that God is able, God is willing, but he will not force himself upon you. He will not intervene and interfere with your lives. He wants to allow you to live, but when you call upon him, he will come. Now, it may not work out, you know, this isn't like a sitcom where everything works out in, what is it, 22 minutes? I think they're about 18 with all the commercials, but whatever. Where they get everything done so quickly and it works out beautifully and those kind of things. That's not the way life works. But God can work and minister to you in ways that only he can to enable you to move through a situation where he wants you to be. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to be comfortable. It doesn't mean it's going to be kind and wonderful and everything's going to go according to your plans. But things will go according to his plans. And David understood that in his own walk. And there are many times in his life he did not follow God. That's recorded well in the scriptures, and he understood that. And he often, when he did, sought God's mercy and God's forgiveness for the sin that he had committed. And I pray that we are the same way as we seek to follow God, because there will be times in our lives when we do not live up to God's expectations. I will not ask you to raise your hands, because I know many times in my life that has happened to me. And for those of us who seek to follow God, there are times we don't quite measure up to where we should be. We don't do everything we can do. There's always a little bit more we could do, and we fail God, but God does not fail us, nor does God give up on us when we live that way. As his children, he continues to walk with us, he continues to strengthen us, he continues to encourage us, and he may even, and oftentimes, does things for us, and even in spite of us, to accomplish his purposes in and through our lives. And David was a testimony of that again and again in his own walk. And as he shares these words here, I hope you kind of hear from his heart to our to us today the name he gives God. And I think it's a name of God that we sometimes forget, but that we often need. And in times like these, I think it's a very important name. He calls him the Lord my rock. God is my rock, my stronghold, my strength. And you know, when you use this image and you think of where David lived and what David was used to, the kind of terrain in which he lived, rocks were significant. And he's not talking about pebbles here. He's not talking about the things that cause us to slip. But a rock that is a firm foundation, something that you can plant yourself on, something that you know will hold you up. And our God is that rock for us. There are things in this world that we will face that will make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. Right? Anybody been there lately? We all have those times in our lives. We have those situations. We have those circumstances where the ground seems a little bit tenuous, a little bit dangerous, and yet God is our rock. He is secure. He is unmoved. He is unaltered. He is not, what amazes, so many things amaze me about God. One of the things that amazes me, nothing comes God's way that God doesn't have a plan for and God's not going to deal with. He is never surprised. He's never like, oh, what can I do now? And you know, God does never, he never panics. He simply moves forward with the plan that he has. He simply works in your life and my life as he desires. And sometimes that makes us a little uncomfortable. That makes us a little unsteady because we can't see the end of it. We don't understand things and see things from God's perspective. We wonder, God, what is this? Why is this happening in my life right now? Why am I going through this? And all along the way, God says, trust me, child. I know what I'm doing. I'm with you. I will help you. And we're like, God, I'm not sure. I don't see a way out, God. Trust me, child, God says. I know what I'm doing. And how many times did he have to say that with King David? How many times did he say that with people like you and me in our own lives? There are times that we come against, or should I say it this way, life comes against us. And we're not sure which way to move. We're not sure how to handle it. We're not sure what the next step is. We just don't know, and we're confused. And rather than try and figure it out, which is one thing that many of us men try to do quite well, right? We love to fix everything, don't we? Okay, guys, I'm going to ask you to confess. How many men are afflicted with what we call fix-it disease? Be honest, yeah? Oh, come on. Ladies, you can nudge your husbands here. You know them. You know, we think we can fix everything, any situation, we can handle it. That's what we do. That's one of the things that, you know, we men that we're wired, we want to fix it. Now, anybody of you thought I was thinking about mechanical stuff. There's other things we try to fix that have nothing to do with mechanics, right? We try to fix a lot of things. We think we have a solution. We can solve it. And we have that disease, that confidence, that attitude sometimes in our lives, and then we come up against something that we cannot fix. One of the things that we really struggle to fix are relational issues and emotional issues in life, isn't it, gentlemen and ladies? We all struggle with that. We can't fix those things. And also in the spiritual realm, we don't, and sometimes we seem to forget this truth and reality that is said again and again throughout Scripture, but we kind of push it to the back because it kind of sounds like mumbo jumbo from the past or something that they believe in these dark, faraway places. But the truth is, we are in the midst of spiritual warfare every day. Every single day, you're in the midst of spiritual warfare. The enemy is at work too. And he seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to ruin your life. He wants to move you off the path that God has for you. He wants to cripple you. He wants to make you be less than what God knows you can be. And he wants you to fail in every way possible. And when you fail, he wants you to believe that that failure is final. But God is greater than the enemy. God knows the battle that you face. He's in the middle of it every day with us. And he desires to bring us to himself, and he wants us to understand failure is not final. Do you get that? I hope you hear that. If you hear nothing else I say today, I want you to hear those words. Failure is not final with God. God knows you will fail. God knows you and I will stumble. He knows this. He made us. He understands us. And that is why he gave us an advocate. That is why he sent Christ Jesus. Because he knows we will fail. He knows we can't do it. And we will come up against things in life that we will not be able to overcome in our own strength and in our own will. And many of you are strong people. You've got great self-control and great will, but there will come things in our lives that we cannot whoop, to use my dad's terminology. Just can't do it. But God is bigger than your circumstances. God is able to walk with you and take you through things that you never dreamed possible. And that's what David is reminding himself of. That's what he says in those first few verses. Blessed be the Lord my rock, the one I can stand on, the one I can count on, the one who will be with me no matter what I find myself coming up against. And David found himself in many situations, some he created by his own whatever, his own foolishness. But he found himself many times, but he always knew where to go, and he always knew who stood with him and would strengthen him and would enable him to walk through that path. And that's the God whom we worship today. That's the God whom we serve. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is that rock that we can stand on. He's that secure foundation in the middle of a world that sometimes tells us that there is no foundation. There is no such thing as absolute right and wrong. There is none of this. And you guys are crazy to believe this kind of stuff about God. And yet God says, I am the truth. Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus reminds us again and again that he is the answer to our issues. He is our strength. He is our hope. And all the things that we've talked about over the last several weeks as we've looked at the names of God remind us of God's character and God's traits and God's power. And once again, David is reminding us there that God is my rock. And I love the image. He gives an image of warfare that God is his stronghold and his deliverer, his shield in whom I take refuge. Now, I've never been in battle to use a shield, not a real one. You know, when we were kids, we all played stupid stuff. And as a boy, we were always trying to find new ways to fight each other. That's what boys do, you know. And we, you know, one of these days, I remember we got these goofy, we made our own shields out of cardboard. Those were really powerful, right? And we had, of course, our swords were made out of the same material because, you know, I think my parents had bought some appliance, and so we cut the box up and used it. That's just what we did. And we were playing with it with some of my friends, and we had our swords and our cardboard swords and shields and, you know, doing what boys do. It's just what we do. I don't know how we were. I'm not going to say because probably older than I should have been doing that. But anyway, we were playing and having, I just remember as I think about that image of us, those shields that, you know, the shield wasn't really that good to protect you, but it was kind of, you held it up to kind of keep them from hitting you. And the idea that he's using David's reminder is of an actual warfare when these gentlemen had shields to protect them in the middle of the warfare. As someone is coming at them with a sword, and they would use the shield to protect themselves so they could use the other hand to strike. But that idea of the shield, it was a protection from arrows or from a strike of a sword or just from another person. And God is our shield in the midst of the battle. Why would David use images of battle if he didn't understand he was in the middle of a war? And so are you and I. We are in the middle of a war. Not a war with guns. That's how we think of it today, or lasers, or whatever else, you know, kinds of things they use in warfare, or bombs. We are in the middle of a battle against an enemy who is seeking to trip us up, who is seeking to destroy us, who wants us to fail and fail miserably. So that he can say, told you so. Told you couldn't do it. And whatever other plans he has for our destruction. But God is on your side. He is your rock. He is your shield, David says, in the midst of this. He stands with you And at times, he will fight for you. I want you to think for a moment. Any of you who have faced a battle you cannot overcome in your life, something that is beyond it. I want you to raise your hand. I want you to think about that. Is there something maybe you're dealing with right now, an issue, a temptation, or something that you struggle with, and you're like, every time it comes against me, I fail? Happens to pretty much all of us. We have something, whatever that is. It varies from person to person. And the devil does not know everything about you. He can't read your mind, but he can see your habits and your actions, and he uses that to set up a strategy to trip you up. But the scripture says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My rock is more faithful, is stronger, more able to accomplish what he desires in my life than the enemy can when he comes against me. And I really believe we need to honestly ask ourselves, are we willing to allow God to fight for us? Now, I know there's a bravado thing that a lot of men have. We kind of have that where we can take care of it, right? It's kind of what we do. We used the fix-it mentality a while ago, but also kind of that, well, I can handle it. But there are things that come against us that we cannot overcome. No matter how tough you think you are, and many of you are tough. I'm not saying you're not tough. I'm not saying that. But there are things that we cannot overcome, guys, right? Let's be honest. There are battles, there are enemies that will come against us that will defeat us on our best day. But the enemy doesn't usually come against you on your best day, does he? He usually seems to find another way and another time to come against us. He's kind of conniving and sneaky about that. I know you think, well, he's talking a lot about the devil today, but I think we need to know our enemy. Because it reminds us of the one who is greater than the enemy and the one who has the power. And that sometimes the battle is too much for us. And David understood that in his own life. Sometimes the battle is too much for me, so God, take him. I can't fight this one. I'm beat. I will lose. I know how this ends if I take the wheel. If I'm in charge, I know how this story goes. And we say, God, fight for me. And the king fights for us. And do you know what God's record is against the devil? You know how many times God has lost to the devil? Never. You know how many times he will lose to the enemy? Never. Now, it may look like at times that he lost. I mean, definitely Calvary looked like a loss, didn't it? When Jesus was crucified, and you've heard me say before, and probably others before me and after me will say the same thing, there was probably the most amazing party going on in hell when Jesus was crucified. That we have done it. We have killed God's son. We have won. But they didn't realize that by what they had accomplished, they had not only lost, they had lost massively. They had fallen right into God's trap. God knew what he was doing. He knew what the whole purpose of everything was. And they also didn't realize that Sunday was coming either, did they? They didn't realize what God was about to do. And sometimes in your life and my life, we face a situation and we face a circumstance that we cannot overcome, and yet we're ready to quit. We're ready to stop and say, God, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. I'm spent. I'm wiped out. He says, I know, child. Trust me. Stay with me. Walk with me. Just let me lead. And I don't know if sometimes God says it consciously to us, but sometimes he just takes over. And I don't know if you've experienced that in your life. It's an awesome experience to watch God just take over and do what God does. And he can do that in your life as you walk with him in the middle of the circumstances that you face. And I don't know what you face. I am not a seer into your minds. I don't know that. And I don't want to be. I really don't. And you don't want to see into mine either, because you may not find there's much there. But anyway, what I hope you see is that God can and will and knows every situation and circumstance in your life and can move in power and grace in ways that we can't imagine. And I love what David uses in these next few verses we're going to look at as he's trying to think about his enemy that's coming against him. Of course, he's obviously thinking about a physical enemy that he fights. But also in this point in his walk, he's also understanding the struggles that he has faced. He's looking back and seeing the failures that he has done and how God has walked with him. But as he thinks of these enemies, he says in verse 6, flash forth lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and confuse them. Stretch forth your hand from on high. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, out of the hand of whose mouths speak deceit, whose right hand is the hand of falsehood. God, deliver me. Help me to overcome those I can't overcome, those that will overwhelm me, those that will destroy me, those that will ruin my life. Lord, only you can fight that. Do what you can, only you can do and overcome them, and God is able to do that. And maybe as the Church of Jesus Christ today in this land, rather than praying like we usually pray, which is kind of mamby-pamby, worthless prayers that don't really mean much, we need to get on our knees before Almighty God. I mean, really pray. Really pray. Do you know what I mean between the difference between prayer and prayer? Not dinner prayers of God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food, amen, or whatever you say, you know. But I mean, really, get in that closet with God, wherever it is that you pray, and plead with him to move and do whatever he wants and surrender fully to him. Say, God, whatever you want to do in and through this life, Lord, I know you're in charge. I know you're able. God, use me in whatever way you desire and accomplish what you want to accomplish in my life. I'm tired of trying to win my own battles. I can't win, and I will fail. But I know that you will always be victorious. And notice what he shifts there in verse 9 is, in the midst of all these battle images and what God's doing, then he says this, I will sing a new song to you, O God, upon the harp of 10 strings. I will sing praises to you. In the middle of the battle, I will praise you, knowing that you are victorious, knowing that you are glorious, knowing that you have accomplished this, God. It is not me who wins. It's not what I do that shows how wonderful and able I am to live out the promises of God. It's nothing in you or me that can accomplish that. It is only the work of the Holy Spirit in us that can do that, and it is only by God's power that we can achieve victory over the schemes of the enemy. Nothing else will give us victory. But for far too long in the Church of Jesus Christ, especially in the West and in America in particular, we have sought to fight the enemy on our terms. We have sought to use our weapons, our intellect, our wills, our strength. Whatever we bring to the table, we think we can deal with him. And if you notice why the Church of Jesus Christ in the West has failed so miserably, because we have tried to fight a battle we were never intended to fight in the first place. It's not about what I can do and what I can accomplish as a follower of Jesus Christ. It's about what Christ in me can do and what he is able to do through me. And he's the one who achieves the victory. He's the one who accomplishes that. David goes on in the next verses, who gives salvation to kings? Who rescues David, his servant, from the evil of the sword? He knows who does these things. He understands who rescues him. He understands who's able to help him overcome those who seek to destroy him, who deceive him and to undermine him. He knows this. Do you and I know this? I mean, we say we do. But when the enemy comes, do we cower in fear? Do we try to figure out a new way to fight him? Or do we say, God, this one's beyond me. Help. And what does the king do when you call on the king and ask for help? Well, he sits at home in heaven, right? And kind of sits on his throne and says, well, let's see. Well, I'm going to do this. I don't want to do anything or not. No. It's not what the scriptures teach. That's what we think happens. We have this image of God that he's sitting on the throne just kind of kicking back and, you know, I don't know, doing nothing. But the king of the universe is active, the scriptures teach us. He is involved in our lives. He knows it. And when we call on him as his children, he answers. Parents, when your children call upon you, do you answer? Even if you've heard it for the 1,000th time that day and it's the same thing you've heard every time, you know, you still respond, don't you? How much more does your Heavenly Father respond to you when you call? You think he doesn't care? I mean, I know he's got a lot on his plate. I mean, yeah, he's busy. Are you busy? Sometimes in your lives and got too much time and you got a lot of things to do, but your children matter more than your schedule, don't they? Uh-huh. Now, grandparents, you know that's true. Because when they show up at your house, who is suddenly in control of your house? I know from watching this firsthand with my daughters at my parents' house. Oh, my goodness. And at my mother-in-law's house. When they show up, they get to do whatever they want. Right? Okay, grandparents, you're being a little quiet out there. You know I'm right, don't you? If you have that kind of care and love and respect for your grandchildren and children, how much more does your all-loving, all-powerful Heavenly Father have for you? Do you think God wants to see you achieve victory over the enemy? What do you think? Or does He want you to lose? Just asking. He wants you to win. He wants you to overcome Satan. He wants you to be victorious. And He knows the only way that can be accomplished is by His might, by His power, and His strength, and when He shows up. Because when God shows up, Satan knows he has lost. He can deal with us. He can handle us. But he wants nothing to do with the king. Because when the king comes, he knows that defeat is inevitable. And the rock that David speaks of, the Lord that is my rock, that strength, that hope, that power that we have, should give us great confidence, should give us great encouragement, should know that no matter what we face in this life, God is able. I never said it's going to go perfect. I never said you were going to be wealthy and happy and wonderful and everything would be just glorious. I didn't say that because that's not true. But what I did say is that God will accomplish what God wants to accomplish in and through your and my life if we let Him. And He is able to do that because He's God. And because He's God and because He's able to do that, you and I will be able to celebrate what He has done, what He has accomplished in our lives as we see Him victorious in and through us. And then we celebrate the victories and realize that God is the one that wins the battle, and that's okay. Because what's interesting about this, when God wins, is that He just kind of brings us along. Sometimes I wonder, maybe He needs a cheering section. No, I'm just kidding. He doesn't need a cheering section. But I think He wants us to see the victory in the battle. So when you see the victory, it breeds confidence and it breeds strength in your faith, doesn't it? It enables you to understand that when the next challenge comes, when the devil brings up his next scheme, you're like, wait a minute. Remember a couple weeks ago you brought something and God showed up and I remember how that ended. Not well for you, enemy. And sometimes I think we need to let Him know that we know what He's up to. You know, we talk a lot about Satan, that he is real, right? But we need to understand that God is more powerful than him. And Satan will often taunt us to thinking that he's got a new way to overcome God's work in our life. But the reality is, he's been using the same old tricks on humanity for thousands of years and will continue to use the only tricks he's got until he is judged and thrown in the pit forever. And he knows, he'll never admit it, but he knows that he's going to lose. He has to. He's never won anyway, so I mean, you know, he's got to know that. It's going to somehow happen. He's going to lose. And God wants you to understand and me to understand that no matter what you face, God wins. No matter what happens in this culture, no matter which way it turns, no matter whatever may happen to the church, and whatever what we may face as believers. What if we face persecution someday after that? What if that happens? What are we going to do? We need to trust God. And let God lead us and let Him take care of that. And He will walk with us and He will give us the strength and the faith to do what we need to do in the middle of it. We will never find it in ourselves. We'll never be able to program it or make it happen in our own minds, but God is able to do what only God can do in our lives and make us be the men and women He wants us to be. Because He is our rock and our strength and our fortress. He's the one who stands beside us and walks with us. He is our hope and our future. He is everything and more than we can imagine. And His desire for you today is to experience who He is and what He's done in your life. The second half of verse 15 is the promise I want you to carry with you in days like this and days that may be even more difficult than this. knowing that no matter what you face, how blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Not how blessed are the people who are Baptist. How blessed are the people who are Pentecostal or Presbyterian or Episcopalian or Methodist or non-denominational or Catholic or whatever you want to throw in there. That doesn't matter. How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. For He is able. And He's able to work in your life today, if you'll let Him. Would you pray with me, Father? We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the promise that King David lays out so clearly today, and the reminder in Scripture, Lord God, that You are able to overcome anything that the enemy brings towards us. And I pray, Father, as we if there is one here today, whether in this facility that we're in today or watching us on our live stream that has not responded to You in salvation, that today would be the day they would respond to You. They need to talk to one of us or with a phone call, an email, or however it is, a text, whatever means necessary, or just simply coming forward if they're here. Although we're not really doing that kind of thing, but still, if they want to respond, let us know and we will respond to them, Father, because the Holy Spirit's at work. I pray You will convict us and empower us to go to You when the enemy comes and quit trying to fight him in our own strength. Because I don't know about my brothers and sisters, Lord, but I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of getting beat up. And I know that the only way that I'll achieve victory in Christ is to be in Christ and to let my King fight for me. Use this time in whatever way You desire, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.